PDA. PDA. Even before Palm came along and offered the new technological version of the Franklin planner and the paper day timer, PDA was already a significant abbreviation. We used the shorthand code frequently when I was in college. PDA was not personal digital assistant. No, PDA stood for something much more meaningful, much more relevant. Since old habits die hard, in my world, PDA is still short for public display of affection. And while personal digital assistants are, I suppose, mostly a good thing, public displays of affection are a different thing altogether. Of course, if you are a willing participant in a little tactful public display of affection, it's no problem, I guess. Perhaps it might even be a pleasant, a good thing. But if you're a third party, unconsulted, a forced observer of someone else's excessive PDA, it's not a good thing. And of course, there are some displays of affection that should never happen, whether in private or public. And the fact that these days they routinely get dragged into the public arena for exhibition is one of the unarguable marks of our society's eager descent into the abyss of licentiousness and corruption. But even wholesome affection is often best kept in check in public. Watching a PDA makes most of us uncomfortable, and even people who tolerate and support a great deal of scandalous PDA will still raise an eyebrow at a three-minute nuptial kiss before the altar. Public display of affection is not, for the most part, welcome. It makes us ill at ease and even embarrasses us when we see it. Some things are better kept in private. And I guess that's sort of the way that I read today's text. I can't help getting a little bit of that uncomfortable, just a tad embarrassed feeling as I listen in on Paul's words to the Christians in Thessalonica. Now, I know they are letters, after all, and I'm quite used to Paul's personal business and his personal greetings finding a way in during the closing verses of these letters. But somehow this text seems a little bit too much. I think that I'd rather not know how Paul felt down inside about the little gathering of believers called the Thessalonian church. There it is, in canonical text. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy, and the Greek is excessive in the superlatives, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see your face. Overflowing with love, his beloved Thessalonians. Whew! PDA, isn't it? And it's coming from Paul, of all people. And Paul does not typically come across with one of those as one of those sort of sentimental, touchy-feeling personalities, does he? I mean, this is the Pharisee who ran the coat check at Stephen's stoning. This is the apostle who wished that the circumcision group in Galatians would slice their surgical knives a little further. Paul is supposed to be my hero of stoic impassivity. But here it is in black and white, public display of affection from St. Paul. Still, it's not as bad as it might be. Indeed, Paul is letting his feelings show, and they are feelings of profound affection and concern, but he's not even close to sliding into sentimentality or even into some sort of male bonding experience. Paul's concern is expressed by a desire to be with the young congregation again so that he can grow them into a fully mature Christian faith. He wants them to have all the tools, all the encouragement, and all the help they need so that he can provide for them, so that they can have a full-fledged faith. I would call it a robust, doctrinally complete, altogether equipped sort of faith. And so it's worth noting here in passing that Paul is hardly content with the knowledge that at least these Thessalonian Christians know the gospel. There is no minimizing of the doctrinal content of faith here. For Paul, just knowing Jesus is not enough. More needs to be supplied. And so Paul's heartfelt concern is manifest in his desire to lead these Thessalonian Christians deeper into the fullness of God's faith. So Paul, mercifully, is no sentimentalist. But there's also no denying the reality of his public display of affection. It's just a sort of Pauline PDA. Whatever might be unclear about the text, there's no doubt at all that Paul possesses an overwhelming, driving love for the little flock that he had worked so hard to establish on the Aegean coast. Paul cares deeply about these people. So Paul is able to do two things, and both at once. Paul proves that a good theologian does not have to be a stolid, sterile, unfeeling, dispassionate stone of a man. Paul loves the truth. Paul loves the people. It's not an either-or proposition. Still, for my part, I can't help wishing that Paul would have shown just a little more restraint in his expression of love and anxious concern for the Thessalonians. It's all just a trifle uncomfortable for my Teutonic sensibilities. But maybe that's just a point after all. I imagine that when Paul's letter was read the very first time, I suspect that his honest, heartfelt public display of affection made a telling impact. There's something about being on the receiving end of that kind of unguarded, wholesome love. Paul loved his people, and that love left no room for self-conscious concern about how he might look or how he might sound or how someone else might take it when he professed his love. And there's a lesson here for me, I know. Maybe there's a lesson here for all of us. If the Apostle Paul was not so sophisticated, so learned, so cautious, and so self-possessed, indeed not so full of himself, that he could not let himself truly love and then freely show that love, well then, perhaps those of us who seek to walk in his train should be willing to do the same. Maybe we would all benefit by risking a little PDA for the people under our care. Perhaps such incautious and liberal displays of feeling and affection would help keep us from losing our focus and forgetting our priorities. Paul calls me up short. His exuberant love for the Thessalonians frankly scares me. Shames me. I find that it's just all too easy, at least for me anyway, it's all too easy to begin to care more about my agenda than about the people entrusted to my care. It's easy to be more concerned about being respected and admired and successful than about simply loving God's people. Paul's PDA makes me wonder if we don't care more about GPAs, balanced budgets, classroom lectures, publishers' deadlines, academic clout, the perfect call, theological righteousness and doctrinal rigor than we do about people and their eternal salvation. That is, after all, Paul's bottom line. At the parousia, he wants his people, his beloved people, ready. And in his almost embarrassing affection for his people, the apostle's heart aches and his tongue articulates that love, real love, a love for truth, a love for people. What a delight it must have been to be in Thessalonica and to be on the receiving end of such uninhibited public display of affection. And that's the problem, really. I'm uncomfortable about Paul's PDA because I'm only an observer. I'm just listening in. I'm on the outside, watching. But to be in the middle of it, that's a different thing altogether. That's always the way that it is with public displays of affection. Stay aloof, remain dispassionate, watch from a distance, and you miss out on all the joy, all the fun, all the love. But to be the object of affection, the object of apostolic affection, that's fantastic. And to be the one loving and showing that love, well, that's not easy. It might be uncomfortable. It's always so much easier, after all, to remain detached, distant, and aloof. It's safe. It's professional. It might cost a lot to carry out a public display of affection. That's what apostles do. And that's what shepherds do. Indeed, that's what the shepherd did. Incessantly. Profound, unfettered love that defies description, continually on display, quite out in public, no apologies, no shame. It was altogether scandalous, these public displays of affection. And what is Golgotha's cross if not the ultimate public display of affection? Those on the outside, third-party observers, scoff at it, analyze it, describe it, sterilize it, theologize it. Those on the receiving end simply delight to be so publicly, and perfectly, and passionately loved. You, my friend, you are on the receiving end. So it is that the heart of your faith and the standard of your vocation is, as Paul well knew,